was, past tense, whatever the issues were during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's epistles, that is no longer the issue. There's been a change. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 17. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Now, you could not say that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Romans to Philemon, that is the declaration. That is the condition. That is the status. That is the present-day status. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that was not the status. That was not the state of all men. He says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. In the Gospels, we did. There was a recognition. There was a knowing of men after the flesh. Furthermore, the verse goes on to say, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Again, just as Romans 15:8 declares, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. 2 Corinthians 5:16 is confirming that very truth, that Romans 15:8 is indicative of a change. It is proof of a change from the program set forth in the Gospels. And yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yet now, Romans to Philemon, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Now, think this through before I move on. I kind of missed a point that I wanted to say when we were talking about what you're dealing with in the Gospels. You're dealing with the fulfillment of prophecy, that which God has made known since the world began, and that when you consider Hebrews to Revelation, I want to make a comment about Hebrews to Revelation in this regard, that it continues the idea set forth in the Gospels. And what's the idea set forth in the Gospel? The fulfillment of prophecy. That's the same idea that is found set forth in Hebrews to Revelation. In Hebrews to Revelation, the idea is the fulfillment of prophecy. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the idea is the fulfillment of prophecy. But in Romans to Philemon, that is not the issue. Look at Romans 16, 25 and 26. Romans 16, verse 25 and 26. Again, there's been a change from the program in the Gospel. And the program in the Gospel is upon the fulfillment of prophecy. In Romans to Philemon, it is the setting forth of the revelation of the mystery. That's the program in Romans to Philemon. The setting forth of the revelation of the mystery. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now that's the issue in Romans to Philemon. When he goes on to say, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, what that verse does, in essence, shuts you up to the Pauline's writings, Pauline scripture. And when you talk about the scriptures of the prophets, that has to do with the job of the prophets identifying Paul's writings, identifying and, if you might say, gathering those writings for the purpose of completing the Word of God, Colossians 1:25, to do with fulfilling the word out or completing the word out. You complete the word out in that, or does God complete in that the revelation of the mystery, that which God had kept hid in himself, concerning eternal purpose, about claiming the number of the universe back unto himself? He only revealed through prophecy his plan and program for bringing the government authority of earth back unto himself under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to Paul and through Paul now makes known his hidden purpose, a purpose he kept hid in himself, about how he's going to reclaim the governmental authority in heavenly places back on self under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, having given that revelation to and through the Apostle Paul, having committed it to writing, and again, the prophet's job was to gather those writings and to finalize the Word of God, to complete the written revelation of God. When that was done, the Word of God was complete, because now you have God's eternal purpose made known. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, having made known to us the glory of his will. Verse 7, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he shall gather together in one all things in Christ, whether they be things in heaven, whether they be things in earth, back unto himself under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is setting forth in Romans to Philemon, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And he does from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry. In Acts 20 and 24, says that he lived to testify of the gospel of God. From the beginning to the end, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I have my course. From the beginning to end, Paul will present Jesus Christ in the light of the revelation of the mystery. He preached the Christ of prophecy, but he did not preach Christ according to prophecy. And that was what the great stir and the great controversy about Paul's preaching is what he preached. He did not preach Christ according to prophecy. That program had been interrupted. That program set aside by apostleship, his mystery, his message. And so, again, Romans to Philemon, you have an entirely different program. Dealing with the prayer of mystery. At Ephesians chapter 2, you see how it is clearly, evidently set forth. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye behind past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. And you'll notice, he makes a reference to time past. And that in time past, the characterization of time past is a division between Jews and Gentiles. Verse 12, that at that time ye Gentiles were without Christ. Why were they without Christ? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So again, looking back at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, it is clear that the program and the world that is presented there is different from the program and the world presented in Paul's epistles. Again, I say to you, in Paul's epistles, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. You could not say that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Verse 13, but now, indicating a change, moving from Matthew to through John to Romans to Philemon, there's been a change. A change from the program of the fulfilling of prophecy to the program of making known the revelation of the mystery. But now in Christ Jesus, ye Gentiles who sometime or once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, that is Jew and Gentile, who hath made both one. This is an issue about the reconciling of the world. Romans 11, verse 15, for if the casting away of them be what? The reconciling of the world. In other words, in order for the world to be reconciled, in order for there to be no difference between Jew and Gentile, the nation of Israel had to be alienated first. That's why you could never start the dispensation of grace, that you could never start the church, which is the body of Christ, until the casting away of the nation of Israel, until the reconciling of the world. The reconciling of the world has to do with God putting no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, making them both one, first in Adam, in unbelief. Romans 11:30-32, God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have what? Mercy upon all. And so the alienation of the nation of Israel is necessary before you can have the reconciling of the world. And it is out of a reconciled world God introduces the dispensation of grace, introduces the church, the body of Christ, introduces Paul, the apostle, to the Gentile, and so forth. Out of a reconciled world, when he concluded the world in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And it is in that context of time Paul's conversion takes place, and hence Paul, in giving his testimony about his conversion, writes in 1 Timothy 1:15-16, he writes over there, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I, Paul, obtained mercy, that in me first," and you see how that fits perfectly with Romans 11:30-32, where God said he might have mercy upon all, Paul being the first, "that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "to life everlasting." God introduces the dispensation of grace, the program of the mystery. And that is what is going on here. The reconciling of the world first, and the salvation of the preaching of the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles without distinction. Going back to Ephesians 2 and verse 14 again, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." And notice why he did that: for the express purpose of making in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. That brings you back to 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, that's a distinct and direct reference to the fact that the world in which Christ labored and ministered, there's been a fundamental and radical change. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." What I'm saying to you, the program in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the program in Romans to Philemon. They are different. The program in the Gospels, the fulfillment of the prophetic word. The program in Romans to Philemon, the setting forth of the revelation of the mystery. Now, look at verse 16. "And that he might reconcile both," Ephesians 2:16, "and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Now notice verse 17 very carefully. "And came," that is Christ, "came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh." What are we saying in this verse? That the Lord Jesus Christ preached to a reconciled world. But he's in exile. Remember in Acts 1, he ascended back up into heaven in fulfillment of Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till thy enemies are made thy footstool. So Christ in his person never did what verse 17 declares. But Christ in Paul and through Paul did. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Now, the point I'm trying to drive home here is that Christ, in the person of Paul, preached to a reconciled world. You're talking about the apostleship, ministry, and message of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. Because the Lord Jesus Christ never in his person did such a thing. Remember Romans 15:8, during his earthly ministry, he was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. It's not until God introduces, that is, cast away Israel and introduces the dispensation of grace in the salvation of the chief of sinners, does the gospel go out to both Jews and Gentiles without distinction. Now, the clear and evident difference between the program in the Gospels, Matthew to John, and the program in Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, helps us in our interpretation and understanding of the book of Acts. For when we read and study the book of Acts, the writer's purpose and the writer's design in the book of Acts is apparent to transition us from the program in the Gospels to the program set forth in Paul's epistles. For example, Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of the Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And in Acts 28 and in verse 28, we read, be it known, therefore unto you, again to Israel, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. What are we dealing with? The transition from the program in the Gospels to the program in Paul's epistles. For example, the first part of the book of Acts, Jerusalem is prominent. In the latter part of the book of Acts, Antioch is prominent. In the first part of the book of Acts, Peter is prominent. In the latter part of the book, Paul is prominent. And it's a good study to go and look at the parallel between the work, you know, the miracles of Peter and the miracles of Paul, and how the emphasis is designed to transition you from the apostleship ministry and message of Peter and the 12 to the apostleship ministry and message of the Apostle Paul. In the first part of the book of Acts, God is provoking Israel with a little flock. In the latter part of the book of Acts, God is provoking Israel with the Gentiles. The book of Acts, therefore, is about the fall of Israel and salvation being sent to the Gentiles, and not as commonly but wrongly interpreted to be about the birth, the growth, and the development of the church. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. The book of Acts is about the fall of Israel and salvation being sent to the Gentiles, which represents a new and different program from that of prophecy. In prophecy, God's plan and purpose is through the salvation of the nation of Israel to send salvation to the Gentiles. But because of Israel's unbelief, God had a secret purpose that he now introduces. Israel's unbelief did not catch God by surprise. Israel's unbelief was prophesied. But God had a purpose he had not made known to anyone, was not hid in the scriptures, was not foreshadowed in type, was not prophesied by the prophets at all. It was kept hid in God. Again, the book of Acts is about the fall of Israel and salvation going to the Gentiles, and that represents a new and different program from that of prophecy, namely the mystery.